Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us at the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Lisa Feely, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Al.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Lori Feller. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Lisa, many of our listeners may be familiar with USAID, but many also may not be. Can you tell us about the mission and history of the USAID?
Sure. USAID actually came about as a result of the Marshall Reconstruction Plan for the economic recovery in Europe after World War II. It was actually the beginnings of this plan came about as a result of a speech that George Marshall, who was the Secretary of State under Truman, gave at Harvard back in 1947. It is the government's arm to lend foreign assistance from this country, and it was actually named USAID and put into existence officially by the Foreign Assistance Act, which was passed in 1961. There are four pillar bureaus. We have an Economic Growth, Agriculture, and Trade, a Global Health Bureau, a Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Assistance Bureau, and we have the Management Bureau, which is where the Chief Financial Office is housed. There are also four regional bureaus, which is the Sub-Saharan Africa Bureau, Asia and the Near East, Latin America and Caribbean, and Europe and Eurasia. We administer our programs through 90 missions located overseas. We have 29 in Africa, 20 in Asia Near East, 24 in Europe and Eurasia, and 17 in Latin America.
Lisa, that's fascinating. That's a very broad set of missions. Can you give some examples of USAID's work?
Sure. It's sort of broken up into different aspects. We have development work that we do. We have assistance work, emergency-type assistance, which would be a situation for example, the Pakistan earthquake, the tsunami. That would be some of our direct emergency-type relief. Some of our development work, we have alternative crop development. It was sort of an interesting project that I visited when I was over in South America, where we're actually teaching farmers how to grow different crops, trying to get them from growing the coca crop, which is the crop used to manufacture cocaine, and trying to get them into other crops, rice and corn type things like that to sort of stop the drug trafficking. And we also have some democracy programs. One of our biggest programs, of course, right now is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. We have a huge program basically focused towards Africa, but also spans the other bureaus as well.
Great. I think some of our listeners might be interested in a higher octane version of coffee. So if you can have some folks working on that, that'd be great.
We actually, you know, you can actually go to Starbucks on occasion and get coffee that we have actually had some play in helping.
Oh, that's very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about your office, specifically the Office of the Chief Financial Officer? How many staff members are in your office and what kinds of skills do they have?
Sure. Actually, we have a myriad of skills. We have CPAs in the office, audit types in the office, financial management, systems, project management, and budget type folks in our office. We have 97 people in Washington direct reports to me. Overseas, we have about 200 folks who are in our controller offices and our missions. We have about 50 controller offices. They don't directly report to me. They would report to the mission director where they're housed, but they look to our office for policy. We have to approve performance-type things and programs that are administered from the central agency aspect. Like right now, we're implementing a new system. They would look to us for that. As a result of a reorganization recently, the Office of Finance was combined with the Office of Management Planning and Innovation. So we grew a little bit there. But we're your basic government financial management office.
Lisa, I understand that you came to USAID after working with the Internal Revenue Service, including a role in business modernization. How have you translated your IRS experience into your work at USAID?
Actually, the IRS experience translated extremely well, maybe too well, to my work at USAID. I think one of the reasons why I was probably the main reason why they were looking for somebody like myself when they went on a search at USAID was because I came from IRS with both disciplines, systems implementation, because I had worked for the chief information officer for a time, as well as finance, because I was the deputy CFO at IRS. That was exactly what USAID was looking for at the time, having had some problems with previous systems implementation and having had several CFOs in as many years as had passed. They had pretty much a CFO per year. So they were looking for some stability and for someone with a background in both disciplines. And as luck would have it, I fit that bill.
I would imagine that's pretty unique, actually, in the CFO field. And kind of building on that, I understand you worked in a variety of positions across agencies, including Social Security and Environmental Protection Agency. How would you compare USAID to the other agencies you've supported, both culturally and in terms of financial management outcomes?
Culturally, I would say that USAID probably mirrors most EPA. It was a sort of a mission-centric organization. I mean, people join AID, and I found when I was at EPA, they joined EPA because of the admirable nature of the mission. You also had a lot more optimism than pessimism. You have sort of a young, if not in years, in thought process, a younger thinking crowd. And they're both smaller agencies with lots of vision. For IRS, I would say it's probably 360 degrees. It's a whole different atmosphere at IRS. Not a bad thing. I think you need both types of agencies. I mean, what IRS was there to do was collect taxes, and they do it well. If not for IRS collecting the taxes, we wouldn't have the money to fund agencies like USAID and EPA. And as far as the other agencies in between, I worked at Interior for a time. I worked, as you said, Lori, for Social Security Administration for a time. Probably they would fall in the middle.
In terms of the management outcomes, the financial management outcomes, can you describe – you talk a little bit about the differing missions. Can you describe a little bit about the financial processes in these various organizations and how they differ in terms of their vision, in terms of their operations?
Well, you know, as far as the financial processes, they don't differ that much. You know, you have a certain financial management mandates that we operate under, and, you know, you could go from IRS to EPA to Interior, and we all have to adhere to the same governing mandates, if you will. So I wouldn't say that those are that different. It could possibly be the difference being in the way they are administered. Obviously, USAID is administered very differently just because of the mapping. You know, we're all over the world. So you're dealing with different folks. A lot of our people that are working for finance and for the agency at large are Foreign Service nationals. So it's a whole different culture out there. That's one of the nice things about Washington. You know, if you're in a certain field, you can go from one agency to the next because you carry that expertise that is going to – you're going to encounter the same types of things.
Right. It's fairly portable.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, given, you know, the vast experience, and you certainly described the many agencies you've worked for and the various roles in systems and finance and audit, our listeners may be curious about how your personal management style has changed over time. Can you describe that for us, please?
It's kind of an interesting question. I guess I kind of – I don't look at it so much as changing over time as maybe evolving over time. I don't really look at it as – managing per se. I've always sort of looked at my role as head of a group or an organization as a leadership role. Whenever I think of management, I sort of think of I manage my checkbook, I manage a job. When I was an auditor, you had distinct audit jobs that you managed. Obviously, you manage the people working on the job too, but maybe it's because personally I think of managing and I think of manipulating to some extent, and I don't like to think that I do that. I like to think that I lead my folks and they want to follow as opposed to forcing a situation. And it's worked very well. I mean, over the years as I've changed jobs and changed agencies, as often as I have gone with somebody who has moved to a different agency, my folks have come with me. So hopefully I'm doing something right if they want to come and not escape me.
Well, we'll certainly know after your employees hear this this show. How does USAID prepare its PART report? We will ask USAID CFO Lisa Feely to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.